The topic today is going to be hospitality. So, hospitality. Yes, Priscilla. I haven't started yet. Oh, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. And that will be the opening scripture, but it's going to continue throughout the morning because sometimes we limit our understanding with hospitality about maybe inviting someone over for dinner or something on that. But I remember at Bible study Wednesday night, I had mentioned about thinking hospitality, and Marlene said, well, that has hospital in it. And it's true. But I'm going to talk about that a little later. So as you can see, Aaron put the Amplified up because it adds a lot more. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. Did you ever feel like you were forced to be nice to someone after they cut you off in traffic or whatever, and so you know we're still supposed to extend this gift, if you will, and without complaining. Murmuring and complaining is a part of our old flesh that we really need to, we hear ourselves doing it, we need to try to let the Holy Spirit say, zip it. And it says, just as each one of you has received a special gift, a spiritual talent, an ability graciously given by God, employ it in serving one another as it is appropriate for good stewards of God's multifaceted grace. Faithfully using the diverse, varied gifts and abilities granted to Christians by God's unmerited favor. How many times have we kind of elusively touched that about how each one of us, even though we're many, are one body, and each one of us God has blessed with gifts, skills, talents, not only the gift of the Holy Spirit, but you as a person have been equipped and given something to bless others with. And when Paul wrote this, or no, Peter wrote this, there's some interesting things about this word, hospitality. And I'll read the secular version, and then I'll read the biblical version, which I think you'll see how that word really expands when you look beyond your natural dictionary. Hospitality, the friendly and generous reception and entertainment of guests, visitors, or strangers. Examples, restaurants. You may have a greeter that's had a bad day, and she'll sit in her back corner facing a wall someplace. Hotels, they all extend hospitality to make the guests feel welcome. Retail stores, I think about the Walmart greeters. You know, you may think that their role is not that important, and they probably need a job or they'd be doing something else. But there are some people that are really, really good at greeting people. And so that's not a bad job. But from the biblical applications, for Christians, the Bible takes hospitality to a whole new level of importance. For Christians, the strongest motivation to show hospitality is not God's commands, the law, but his love for us in Christ, in the gospel. This is not unique to hospitality. The gospel ought to be the driving motivation for all of our good works. So all the good things that you do, ultimately, those are witnesses in your life to those to whom you extend God's goodness in you and through you. We don't have to preach the whole Bible. My heart got crushed on the golf course and there weren't nobody around preaching. The Holy Spirit had me all alone and just the roaring of my mower going down the cart path. But always remember that, the gifts, the skills, the talents that you have, things that you're really good at, be sure to be thanking the Lord for those things because they make a difference in establishing relationships. Yesterday, as an example, I had been invited a couple months ago to a very dear friend in the Lord of mine, Jeremiah Karanja. He's the one that took me on a missions trip for a month to Kenya, Africa, way up in the mountains, the rural villages. And we used to have to go to the U.S. Embassy in Nairobi to make phone calls because they didn't have phones. No cell phones were there yet. And most people didn't have phones. There was no electric, so you had to go to make any calls, you had to go to the embassy in Nairobi, and it was about a one-hour drive to find a phone. But the uniqueness of that was I was taken into their home, and was treated like absolute royalty. Ate whatever was made. I adjust to missions food. We call it missionary food. You know that, don't you, Simone? Yeah, you do. It's good. God gives you that supernatural ability to just receive what's offered and provided, because to them it comes with great cost. But I was invited to his oldest son's wedding down in Hartford, Connecticut yesterday. And I'd been looking forward to going because a few months ago, actually it was mid-winter, I was invited down to speak in their church. And they have now pretty close to 400 in their membership list, and so that's a large gathering of people. But when I went down to this wedding yesterday, it was two churches, because the bride is on the praise and worship team of another church, and his son goes to his father's church. So there was a gathering of both churches, so it was a very large... I didn't go down with anybody, but when I got there, I just saw... I was there early enough to... I could have sat any place in the sanctuary I wanted to, so I sat on the outside of a row where I could see the altar area where the wedding was actually going to be. And I hadn't been there 5 minutes, and two people that remembered when I went down in February, oh, come sit with us, come sit with us. And it was just out of all of that crowd of people, they were so happy to just have me just change and go sit with them for the whole service. And that was a blessing, because I didn't get a chance to talk to a lot of people, but to go to someone else's fellowship and be received by a couple people in the group and taken in as one of themselves. They've always treated me that way, just like Jeremiah Karanja's family did. It's extended through their fellowship. When you go there, there's such a welcoming spirit in that house. And when I come back here, I should be used to this after 36 years, but I'm not. It's just here. It's just something about here. Because you guys bring that. And together. Rick, what'd you think when you came in this morning? It's like you were right at home, wasn't it? You added to what I was reading. And that's what I like about here. When we all come together in the Word, it's just marvelous how you may be inspired to say something. Just put your hand up. I can't guarantee it'll be on a recording, because if it's not going through the microphone, it wouldn't be unless it was really loud. But so, any other motive fails to produce the same effect. When you share those gifts and skills and talents, because those are God-given. And we may have others along the way to help us develop those and get better at doing what we do. But I love to paint, and every opportunity I get to paint, I like to paint. I like stacking wood, and I've been given some opportunities this week to stack wood. But you know, take what you have and share that with others so that you can be a blessing to them. And so, some other things. But it's about our motives. Why do we do that? Well, number one, the Lord has given us these gifts and skills and talents and abilities. So he wouldn't want us to just keep them all bottled up, because they wouldn't profit anybody anything. So hospitality includes not just inviting someone to a meal, which is really nice, but it's the giving of yourself and all your gifts and talents and skills, making yourself available for those who have a need for what you have. And not do it without murmuring and without complaining. Yes, Priscilla?
I had two occasions when I lived in Keene. I happened to be going to the bank to do some banking, and there was one line that seemed awfully long. And it appears that the teller was trying to understand a deaf woman who didn't sign, but she only lip read, and she spoke, and it was very guttural. And she was raising her voice, and I understood that she was deaf. So I went up and I asked her if I could help her by just lip reading with her. And she was all, yes, yes. And the teller was very, very well. And she happened to be just frustrated because the line was getting long and she wasn't getting anywhere with this woman. So that all turned out well. And then another occasion, I got a call from the Springfield Hospital down in the gynecology department, where they had a deaf woman who came in for an appointment who the doctor couldn't understand. He wanted somebody to be able to translate to her what was going on. Well, I don't sign gynecological terms. And it felt kind of awkward, but it worked out. And you know, I would tell her the best that I could. And the doctor said, you're doing fine, you're doing fine. So, you know, when I can, I do. And so, because that's my gift.
Yes. Thank you. And so, when we exercise these things in our lives, it's always for the benefit of somebody else. And it's part of, as we grow in our faith, we come to realize that our life doesn't just focus around me, myself, and I anymore. You tend to begin, as we grow, we begin to see others and their needs more so than our own. And it reciprocates, because it all comes out to a balance in the end, where each person, as you grow, you begin to realize that your motive is, number one, we do it for the Lord, but how do we minister and bless to the Lord? How do we serve him? We serve the Lord through serving his children, the sons and daughters. And what about the people that don't know the Lord? How much more is their need? So there are a lot of ways that hospitality works. And I have another couple notes, and then we'll break and then come back with some more of the scriptures that I want to share with you. Any other motive fails to produce that same effect. When I obey a command out of a sense of obligation, I am far less likely to obey that command with joy and eagerness. We spent a long time in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter. And I remember sharing together with you about how sometimes we just do things out of obligation because it's the right thing to do. But if our heart's not really in it, it prevents people from seeing that good place in your heart that God has placed there to minister to others. We can let our feelings mess up a blessing. And so these things have to flow flow freely, and don't hold them back. If you're good at something, just go do it. But it's always with others in mind. And that's one thing about our faith, is that it's not about us. It's about the one in us, the greater one, and how he's given us these things to share with each other. Let me see. And we have good reason to respond in gratitude or with thanksgiving. Jesus gave himself as living water to quench our spiritual thirst. Did he not say that he was the living water? He referred to himself as the living water. John chapter 7. He gives us his church, meaning the body of Christ. And notice it says his church. This isn't Rick's church. This is not your church. This is his church. And that's why we're so welcome to be here, because he's here before we get here. And when you come through the door, it's like, I've been waiting all week for you guys. Come on in. Let's fellowship. Let's break the bread of the word together. Let's have some praise and worship and prayer time, because he's the inviter. He's the indweller. He's here in this building by his spirit. We don't have to pray him here. We don't have to roll on the floor and all those. I mean, if God told me to get on the floor, I'd roll. But generally speaking, by the Spirit, he is here. And so when we come in, these things should, he's very encouraging to us, to prompt us or to lead us or to give us a word to share with one another. And let me see what else. He gives us his church as our temporary lodging on earth. You see, we're still living in these earth suits. We meet in a natural building. There's nothing supernatural about the building. In the course of time, it'll end up in a cellar hole someplace eventually, years and years and years beyond us. But we're just temporary residents, and we have to see our lives as like that. So make the most of our life while we have it. And he's made heaven our eternal home. Have you put your order in for the color drapes you want in your mansion? You want a propane stove, coal stove, wood stove? How about just spirit food? Although Jesus did eat fish after he was resurrected, so I know he could eat as good stuff as we do. We're the family of God. And this is why we're called to welcome and live in harmony with one another. We've been graciously loved and received by God in Christ. So thanksgiving and gratitude, not guilt, is the strongest motivation for us to love and receive others with joy and an eagerness to do so. And that, so gratitude did not feel guilty. We shouldn't have to be shamed into doing something that God has equipped us to do. It should just learn to let that flow freely in your life so that you can be that light on a hill. I mean, it doesn't take a lot sometimes to really warm someone up to you where you have the opportunity to share more of the good things of the Lord. And so hospitality includes a lot more. And so I hope you'll stay tuned in for the lot more. After a huggy break.